All right, welcome to another episode of One for the Table. I'm your host, Kim Chi.
And I'm John Kung.
And we were just talking about John is looking for a little garden bed for his home.
Yeah, by little, I mean like 9 feet long.
9 feet long? How's little John going to reach it?
Long, not tall.
Oh, long, okay.
First of all, shady.
No. His name is Little John for a reason.
It is true. No. We're going to start off with like one 9 foot bed and see how. Because I think it would be cool to like, because there is like my driveway and then there is like this big lot with a huge tree next to it. It would be kind of cool to like line the edge of your driveway with like a garden bed, with like just a long ass garden bed that goes like almost into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, come out of your car and there are flowers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live in that Midwest life.
Or if you have bushes of catnips, there will be cute cats laying all around in their stomachs. Going,
ain't nothing
ooh.
Like, I love cats and I love the benefits of having cats around. We actually have like, knock on wood, I've noticed in our neighborhood, even though we've got like restaurants and cafes and stuff like that, there are like a couple of houses in our neighborhood that like leaves food out for cats, which is great because they're not close to my house, but like my house definitely benefits. And so we got cats hanging around, but I don't want them like hanging around my garden beds where I'm going to like have vegetables and fruits and not fruits. Well, yeah, strawberries. Have like vegetables I'm going to eat. Because like, you know, cat pee and like cat poo is like very toxic to people. So, and we're allergic. I just don't want to worry about it.
Hater.
Yeah.
But prior to starting a podcast, you're wearing a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
That said RuPaul's Drag Race Pit Crew.
Yeah, it was cold down here.
No. I'm sure it's cold in Detroit. I'm sure it's very cold in Detroit.
So it is. I got a pit crew coat because I got a RuPaul's Drag Race box for like 2 seasons ago. And I keep it down here in the basement to wear when I'm editing. I don't really like, you know, wear it out or anything.
Why? Why wouldn't you wear it out? What's wrong with being a fan of Drag Race?
Nothing at all. Although, congratulations to, like, fellow Asian excellence, because I heard she won.
Yes, Nymphia.
Yes.
And if you're crying about how you're spoiled, well, like, what are you doing on the internet? And it's at least a Monday.
Yeah, days after, honestly, won, this is, so. Like, the Monday after. I'm sorry if we spoiled it for you. Kim's very used to it as being a friend of mine. I exist as a person on the internet. With threads, and as a result, I know everything that's happening in the next X-Men 97 episode.
It's so funny because on Drag Race,
yeah,
you can't even congratulate someone without like, even like 2 days after, without a ton of people running, not everyone has seen Drag Race, you just spoiled it for me. And I'm like, then why are you on like...
Yeah, get off the internet. Sorry.
Like, why are you up here like fighting people about spoilers when you should have just been the one to stay away before you watch the episode?
We don't call it X. We still call it Twitter. Twitter is the only thing that's like, well, that's acceptable to dead name.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. But anyways.
But yeah.
Yeah, but so I'm very like, happy for Nymphia. My friends in Taiwan were actually messaging me yesterday and they're like, Nymphia won.
Isn't that so cool?
And I was like, I'm very happy for Nymphia, but are you texting me this because I'm Asian?
Or are they texting you because like we have a Taiwanese drag queen that we can like invite over now?
No, I mean, she's been part of that community. It's not like she's Taiwanese and like spends her time in America. Like,
did you watch the episode?
You know, remember when we went to Taiwan together and I performed there in Taiwan?
Yes.
Did you realize Nymphia was in the show?
I wasn't backstage the whole time.
She was in the show.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
we possibly like, met.
She is like Taiwan's treasure and pride, and as it should be, you know, and she should be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the president of like Taiwan like left her an Instagram comment like congratulating her.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I loved like, I watched clips. I don't really watch full-on episodes anymore, but like I have watched clips of her performance and stuff, and just like knowing that she never had to perform, so nobody really knew what kind of performer she was.
Yeah, it definitely helped her for sure. You know, yeah, no one knew what to expect.
Yeah, and there were no like, everything that she did as a performance was new. There was nothing that she like, there was no moves that she had to redo or anything like that. Yeah. But that boba look was so good.
So good. So good.
So it was like, good.
It was camp, but it also looked good. And then like, camp, all the reveals fashion, like, looked good in the end.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I see, her boba look was like what the butterfly incident wished it was.
Oh, let's not speak on the butterfly incident. It was
R.I.P.
Rest in peace, those butterflies. You know, and I'm sure she regrets it every day. You know what I mean? Because people like still bring it up. I'm sure she regrets those butterflies. You know,
so. I mean. That's amazing. How did we even get onto that?
You're in your picker jacket, which we're going to go back to.
Oh, that's right.
Should I put it back on? You love Drag Race, huh?
Should I put it back on? It's a good jacket. It's a members only jacket.
I wasn't coming after it. I don't know why you're getting so defensive over this jacket. Yeah, it says RuPaul's Drag Race patch in the front and says pit crew. Pit crew.
You know what's great though? When I put it on my dogs.
Oh.
Because they're pit bulls.
So yeah, no one's going to make that connection except for you.
I make that connection every day.
I don't know why, but my friends around me,
mm-hmm.
they get like weirdly defensive when I point out how they're a fan of Drag Race. And I don't mean it in like I don't mean it in like a negative way. But even then, like, I had friends over and we were watching Drag Race. And afterwards, they're like, let's watch Untucked. Mm-hmm. And then after Untucked, they're like, oh, let's watch the Roscoe's viewing party. Like,
thing. Oh, that's a lot.
So, and after the Roscoe's, before I put in the Roscoe's, and I was like, wow, you guys really love Drag Race. And then the entire room just went silent, and they're kind of like staring at me. They're like, oh, shit. And I'm like, I didn't mean it's a bad thing. But I was just simply pointing out the fact that, like, oh, you guys like Drag Race. But then later they told me, yeah, we feel like we were like these fans that like infiltrated like your home and
oh, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people are nervous when it comes to like you and stuff. It's like the one thing people don't want, I guess, when it comes to people who are connected with like a certain kind of pop culture, is like they don't want to come off as boring, where it's like they probably just assume that you hear and listen to and like have to listen to people talk about Drag Race all the time, so they don't generally don't. I know like you watch it, like, and I know you're like, you are a what's the word am I thinking of? You participate in Drag Race Twitter. Mm-hmm. Scene, so like I know you're still in it, so
but, I mean, but also like I mean I don't I love drag, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I unfortunately do not watch it as much. I just think it's too much to keep up with.
No, we get it. Oh, pop culture, heaven forbid if John Kong has to consume any pop culture.
Hey, I like to know what's going on. So I actually watch all the spoilers so I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I like the spoilers for that reason, because it's like, they're not spoilers, they're cliff notes.
Oh, so you're like the type of person who reads news headlines and be like, oh, I know what's going on in the world right now.
No, I read, at the very least, I read like the Axios summary.
Okay, all right. All right. Headline warrior.
Whatever. Oh my God. Oh, you're such a bitch.
What was I going to say? I feel like I keep like having these like brain farts where like, do you ever just forget like what you were just about to talk about?
I just assume I have COVID brain. Essentially, I can't really remember anything before for what happened before COVID unless somebody like reminds me about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so while we're on the subject of pop culture, let's talk about pop culture just a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay, so Taylor Swift released her album.
Oh, is it good?
Yesterday. And I realized I'm not the target audience for like her music.
What was the title? The title of it?
Tortured Poets Society, yeah, or something.
So like, she went, like, did she go dark?
So that's the thing. I listened to the album. I'm like, I at least like to know like what's going on. And I'm not being a hater.
Yeah.
Because I realize like her music, I'm not the target audience for her music.
Right.
But when I was listening to the album while I was driving my car, I felt like all these tracks kind of sound the same to me.
Ooh. Ooh.
And like, I wasn't like really listening to the lyrics,
mm-hmm,
you know, because I'm sure she's thinking about how hard her life is for her like love break, mm-hmm, or whatever, you know, and like,
mm-hmm,
I don't know, like whatever her struggles are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, so are you saying like the content of the music is sounding the same? Not like the songs themselves sound the same? I'm like, just trying to get it clear.
Like musically, just like, okay, it all sounded the same to me. And I was like, it just feels like I'm listening to like same track with different lyrics over and over.
Okay.
I see. But maybe I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I need to listen to it again.
Active listening.
Yeah, I tried. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't think it's music for me, but I get her, you know, brilliance, yeah, like when it comes to songwriting. And,
of course.
And I understand like her fandom and why they love her the way, you know, she is.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like just based on like what I read about, like how well like she pays like everybody, like
everybody and stuff like, and, oh, she's clearly like,
that's great. We need more people like her,
a, you know, good performer and stuff like that. And but like between her and Beyonce, like there are people that like respect other artists and respect, mm-hmm, their industry and do a lot for their like art and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, again, I do always say that like they're the last billionaires we eat, with Rihanna.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, because, yeah, she's just so funny.
Literally, they're like the last people to totem pole to eat.
Yeah, like, yeah. Of all the billionaires, they get eaten last. But
what I was troubled by was celebrities have this damned if they will, damned if they do kind of a thing, where in one of the lyrics, mm-hmm, she mentions, you know, like, wish we could go, I don't know the exact lyrics, but it was something along the lines of like, I wish we could go back to like 19... or 1843 without all the racists or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, let me go with the exact recipe. Not recipe lyric.
Recipe.
She's saying she wished she lived in the 1830s, but without all the racists.
Okay.
People are coming for her online saying like, this gives me the ick. Like, you know, this is like very like privileged thing like for you to say. Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if she like doesn't address like the racism, people come at her for not using her platform. But then if, yes, she does, it's not enough, or like they're not satisfied with it.
I think like that's the thing. Like she, mm-hmm, was mindful enough to note that there were systemic issues back then.
Yeah.
But like she still like romanticized it. It's just like a different kind of nostalgia, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like we would never want to live back then because we're not, yeah, white. So, like, you know, it's just like, you know, whatever. I think it's a small thing to talk about because it's like a, or to get mad about because it's like, mm-hmm, a song lyric.
I think some people just don't like Taylor Swift for whatever reason. And when something is popular, there's always,
it's the
so
same,
much people
I feel like
that
same
just
way,
hates
like,
it because it's popular.
I see, like, anytime I see, like, someone shitting on, like, Beyonce, mm-hmm, and I was like, on the online where they, it's so petty when like people are talking about their music and stuff like that. And then people like will input their, I guess their personal opinions as, mm-hmm, and state it as if it were like fact as a, mm-hmm, way to kind of like downplay on her accomplishments as an artist. And it was like, whatever. It's petty. Just, yeah, say you want to be contrarian. Good for you. There are millions like you. I will say I don't consider myself a Taylor Swift fan. That being said, mm-hmm, I am always surprised by how many songs of hers I know. Like, I don't know any of her deep cuts, mm-hmm, but like if you tell me, like if you played for me all of the songs that from her albums that I knew, I probably know at least like one song from every album, and I didn't even realize it.
I mean, yeah. And she's got some catchy bangers.
She's got some fucking catchy, mm-hmm, songs.
So one time this like magazine publication released a list of ranking ever Taylor Swift song ever released. Mm-hmm. And it was like an extensive list because, you know, it has all the songs and even like goes on to like the special releases.
Yeah.
So then when I was hanging out with my friends, this one friend was listening to every single song in the order that it was like listed in.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know which. Which I don't know. I don't know why he couldn't just like do that on his own time.
Right.
But anyways. And then like another friend comes and he's like, oh, but my favorite Taylor Swift song is like Shake It Off. And then he kept like hinting to the point that he wanted to hear Shake It Off like numerous mm-hmm. times, like certain nights. But yeah. the other friend just would not play the song Shake It Off because he had to go in order that it was like ranked in. Even, you know, like all like other folky like slow songs, and I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like I said, we were like hanging out, not like sitting here listening to like Taylor Swift, which we wasn't even like on the agenda.
Yeah.
So then like later I go to use the bathroom and I hear the other friend who wanted to listen to Shake It Off.
Shake It Off, yeah.
Listening to Shake It Off in his room alone.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I was like, he really, really,
he really to wanted to watch it or listen to it.
So anyways, yeah, I thought that was really funny. And then, you know, I'll say, what's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
I have to, okay.
You have to Google to see what's your...
I'm just going
to
see...
No, favorite song should just be the first one that comes into your head. Don't try to make like a educated, like smart answer and trying to pick out like our best song.
See, for example, like the only song that I could think about was Bad Blood, but I don't really like that song that much.
Okay.
I just don't know the answer. So I like Blank Space.
Okay, Blank Space is good.
But my favorite song is I Knew You Were Trouble,
mm-hmm.
Screaming Goat version.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I Knew You Were Trouble.
Solid answer.
Is my favorite. But then I'm like looking at, oh, Style. Style is a good one too.
Yeah. Yeah, she has a lot of bangers, but would you say Style is your favorite one?
It would probably be I Knew You Were Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then Style. Although like the last two ones, like Maroon is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so is Clean. I think. I don't remember it. I just remember like... Actually, you know what we can look at? We can look at the Taylor Swift songs and we can see like... We can look at my play count of these songs probably.
Oh, which song like, you listen to the most?
Like which... Yeah. Which song did I listen to the most?
I think my favorite Taylor Swift song, number one, is the Asian Karaoke in Me. Loves Teardrops on My Guitar. So I feel Ooh. Like that is like such a good karaoke song.
Yeah.
And then the second song is Love Story.
Which, how does that go?
Like she wear high heel, I wear sneakers, she's cheer captain and I'm on the bleacher.
Oh, story, is that what that song is called?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay. Yeah, I like that one too.
And then I think the last one is Shake It Off.
Shake It Off. Nice. Only. Oh, I don't think there's a way to see. That's so dumb. Apple Music has like gotten so like, I don't know. Apple Music has gotten to the point where it's like, it's not a music library. It's only about discovery now. So I can't really find data.
Mm-hmm. Like Spotify has data, but they don't tell you until the end of the year.
Oh. Oh, wait, I found it.
I think.
Okay, Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go by plays. We can organize by play. Okay, so, and this is since the inception of these songs. So, Shake It Off is at the top with 82 plays.
Okay.
But that, I'm not going to count that one because that one is on a running mix. That was like on a really old running playlist.
And yeah, that but still, that means you look
It's a good song to run in.
But, it's okay to like Taylor Swift.
Wait, why is This Is What You Came For on here? That's a Rihanna and Calvin Harris song. Did she write it? Anyways, Style is my second most placed Taylor Swift song with 70 plays. 82, 70, and then blank space at 42. I knew your trouble at 32. Mm-hmm. Out of the woods at 24.
Shake It Off is your number one.
I don't know.
It is your most played song.
Wait, what is This Is What You Came... Oh, no, that again. What is... Okay, we're good. We're good.
All right. You're here to hear, folks, Shake It Off, John Kung's favorite Taylor Swift song.
Now I'm curious to see, which songs are my most played. For Beyonce, it is Love on Top is my most played song with 235 really plays. Yes.
When I was over at your place, you actually played that song twice.
Did I really?
You did, yeah.
Formation, I've played it 219 times.
All right.
Freedom featuring Kendrick Lamar, 218 times.
Oh, wow.
And then Party, Lift Off, Shine. Yeah. It's a fun way to get to know yourself.
How do you... Is this a Spotify?
No, this is Apple Music. Oh. So you go into songs in your library and then you type an artist and then you just tell it to organize it by plays.
I see.
Yeah.
I don't use Apple Music, unfortunately, so I guess I'll never know. But I'll tell you my favorite Beyonce song is probably Blow.
Blow?
Yeah.
Which one's Blow?
And from the Beyonce album? Where it goes Blow. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, self-titled?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I mean, she has so many good songs, too.
She does.
But anyways, how did you veer off talking about music?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously, we're all trying to eat healthy because we're gay and, summer bodies or whatever, gay body. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's you, but do you ever, make your food not as delicious so you won't be tempted to eat more?
Never.
Really?
No. I just make less of it so that I run out faster.
Mm.
Sometimes that backfires and I just end up making two meals.
Two meals? Or you end up snacking on random things?
Yeah. As a rule, I try not to limit myself in my enjoyment of food, but I do try to control myself in how much I eat to prevent binge eating, which is something that I do. I have a really bad habit of binge eating.
Really?
Yeah. Mindlessly, literally dissociating while eating to the point where I finished my food, but I didn't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still hungry because I don't feel like I've eaten. And B, I still want to eat because I don't feel like I enjoyed what I just ate.
Really?
Yeah. I have a huge issue with that.
Hmm. Okay, so you all have our different struggles.
We do.
Yeah. Minus, there's just so much different, abundance of food.
Yeah.
But then I hate eating the same thing over and over. So then...
You don't like doing that?
I don't.
Lil Jon has the same problem. I could eat the same thing over and over and over again, which makes it easy to meal plan, actually.
Yeah.
But because he doesn't like to do it, it's an extra struggle where it's I have to make something different.
Yeah, today. I feel to me, meal plan is eating something every day and you taste it. I think the ingredients get worse and worse every day.
Oh.
Meal prep is just not for me.
Yeah.
And even when I go to restaurants, I have friends that love leftovers.
Yeah.
I don't love leftovers.
I like leftovers. I like turning leftovers into something else if there's enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different thing, but just reheating leftovers, you're I tasted the food at its peak, freshness, when it came out, fresh. And the next day, you're okay, it's just heated up food.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of it in the way as in, yes, you're eating leftovers, but the leftovers still taste better than, whatever you were going to throw together for lunch anyway.
But the thing is, that's rarely the case. Whatever I'm going to make fresh next is going to be even more delicious than the last one.
Well,
and not
well,
that I make about, a gourmand meal right. every time, but
But if your leftovers is curry, but it tastes better curry, the next day.
When it's freshly cooked, though?
No, curry tastes better the next day. Always.
Not always.
Oh, I'm going to say always.
No, maybe Japanese curry.
Indian curry, for sure.
I feel like Thai curry is really good when you cook it. Especially.
Oh, maybe Thai curry. Thai curry is a lot more delicate, though.
with like those like fresh herbs and like basil.
And a lot of times at Thai curries, like they don't keep the spices in there too. I guess Thai curry. Indian curry, I always feel like tastes better the next day.
I don't know, but there's something about like, especially like veggies that are like freshly cooked. Because then by next day, like, they lose that like fresh, like just cooked juiciness. Like meat, whatever, you know, like.
Yeah, but then you like definitely can just use that curry and pour it on some freshly cooked veggies.
Not the same though. It's not cooked in from the beginning.
We can agree to disagree.
Yeah. If you want to prove me wrong, by all means, get in the kitchen.
The last time I made curry in your house, I broke your sink. So
you did.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You know, the sacrifices we make for curry.
Worth it.
Do you ever experiment with like what kind of things that you put in Japanese curry? Because normally Japanese curry is made with like potato, onion, carrots, right? That's like the
Always.
Holy Trinity.
And generally, like I don't put those things. Those are like the last things I put in there.
What do you put
I use Japanese curry as like an easy curry base to do like any kind of other things. Like the last thing I made was oxtail. I bought some goat. I bought some goat today. I'm probably going to do that. We put goat in Japanese curry and try to make like a Jamaican-Japanese hybrid.
I like using cabbage, sweet potatoes, and serrano peppers. I know it sounds like a weird combination, but...
No, that sounds good.
Like, it's good.
Yeah.
Because like the cabbage, like it's a little sweet and soft. And then I guess like the sweet potato has like a sweetness, but then like the serranos like makes it spicy.
Serranos are like the... Serranos now are what jalapenos used to be.
Yeah, jalapenos now are like so mild.
They're not. They're like bell peppers now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even some serranos are like milder now.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't... I feel like food in general is getting spicier, but the peppers are all getting milder. We're going to only have the option of habaneros next. And those are still like too spicy for me to like deal with like on a day-to-day... day-to-day basis, but...
And then, like, birthday chili is spicy, but then...
The seeds are annoying.
It's like birthday chili goes great with specific things, but it's not, like, a universal chili for everything for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it also has, like, a distinct flavor, too, you know?
Yeah, some people might know bird's eye chili as Thai chili pepper. But... and then I don't think like, I feel the same way about like Chinese chilies as well. It's like,
And then I like the Korean chili, daengcho or cheongyanggochu, but then they only like pop up seasonally. So it's not like a year round thing.
Oh, maybe chilies are something that will grow in our garden bed.
Yeah, please grow some spicy chili. Get some good seeds.
Oh, there are so many. Like the thing is like, because we live so close to the farmer's market. We have to like be really strategic with the stuff we grow in our garden, because like we're not gonna grow tomatoes better than the farmers.
Yeah.
That are growing like the 20 kinds of heirloom tomatoes that you can get. Same with chilies, actually, because they're like
spicy chilies. Like the pests or like the wild animals don't touch them.
It's true. Yes. Yeah.
So they're like definitely safe for growing outside.
Birds do though. Well, birds still them. Eat chili. Because do you know how, like how chilies evolved though?
How?
So
birds pooping?
Birds don't have taste receptors for spicy food. So they can eat chilies and stuff all day long. And so that's why they did so well. Mammals don't like the spiciness. So chilies actually can like, because the birds fly, they eat them and they fly and they poop everywhere. Chilies spread so much more easily. And the mammals leave them alone. So that's why chilies have done so well all over the world. Also, humans like them and spread them ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite?
What else should I chili all day?
It's just, yeah, exactly. Do you have like a favorite like heirloom chili?
Not really. Do you?
Yeah. There's one called like a lemon drop chili pepper. And it has like the freak. It's bright yellow. And it has like, it's spicy. It's like, I guess it would be like, It's spicier than what you remember a jalapeno used to be spicy, but it has like the fragrance of lemon in it. Ooh. It doesn't taste like, it's not sour, but it's spicy with the aroma of lemon. And it's so, so good.
I guess, yeah, I don't have that much experience in procuring these chilies. Like, where do you find them? Farmer's market?
Farmer's markets. You have to do, like, a lot of times, these special varieties of tomatoes and chili peppers and stuff like that. You won't find them in grocery stores because they don't travel well.
Mm.
So they have to, A, be grown close by, and B, like, just be available immediately.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, you have to be an adventurous person. I think it's called lemon drop. Yes, they're called lemon drop chilies. If you look them up, they're so cute because they're like bright, bright yellow.
I guess it's like a regular home cook. When I see like artisanal, like specific chilies like that, my biggest problem would be I wouldn't know like how to incorporate it like normally.
Yeah.
Like, do you... And I'm sure if you just taste it, it'll be like spicy, right? So like, how do you determine like how that's going to be good in something?
That's where you play around with it. For like, for these chilies, if you dry them, they lose that lemony flavor. So you have to use them fresh. So you can like stir fry with them. You can add them to like, I just add it to like food at the last part.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make a paste out of them as well.
Okay. And speaking of, okay, so this is my thing, and I'll talk about it in podcast too.
Yeah.
So I was making food content, but I stopped recently.
Oh,
because after being in LA and meeting a lot of these like food influencer or like chef content creator personalities, and then I realized, not all of them, some of them are very wonderful and like great, and I love being friends with them, but a lot of them are actually horrible people.
Yes.
They're like horrible people in the industry.
Yes, I agree.
Like, I went to one like food content like creator event, and everybody at my table was talking shit about everyone else at the event. And then when someone else in our table would like leave to go get more food or drink or whatever, and everybody at the table will start talking shit about that person. And I was like, this is extremely toxic.
Yes. Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, no. And then some of them have invited me to like an event or, I was invited to like taste like the food here. Do you want to come with me? And then I will go. And, you know, obviously like these restaurants and business, they're like trying to get like a good review or like a good content, you know, from these people. So, obviously we get like the best service and we get like the best dishes, whatever. And then they don't even tip.
Yeah, that's a huge... Oh my God, that makes me so mad.
And what's even worse is some of them, I go and they're like, oh, I'm like going to like this restaurant, blah, blah, do you want to come with me? And I'll go. And then later they'll post their content and they're like, oh, can you like share this with your followers? And I'm like, why do you need to like share the content? Only to find out they're actually getting paid from the restaurant to make this like... shitty content for like,
and so they piggyback off of your following without
on top
paying
of that,
you
but
anything.
Also, like they like hardly tipped anything, like when they're at the restaurant.
And you don't want to be associated with that.
I don't want to be associated with. Also, like I don't need free food, and I know that's like a very privileged thing to say, but I'm not looking to get free food from like these businesses,
right?
Like, I just want to go and like have a good time with my friends. But for these people, they're like, you know, I'm sure it's like a livelihood or whatever, get your coins, but then at the cost of what? They're basically like scamming these businesses.
Totally.
Under their guise of marketing.
Totally. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. The problem with food content when you're not making the food is that the bar of entry is super, super low. All you need to be a food content creator reviewer or a restaurant content creator is just a camera or your phone. And then you can just go around and target people. And enough of like, and so some people do a really good job of it. Some people do it well. But that's the thing though. Like I have such a hard time trusting any of them because A, they try to get the restaurant to pay them to go, which means they have to leave a good review.
Yeah.
Like I'm...
And so that's another thing.
You can never trust them.
There's this restaurant that all the influencers in LA were posting about, like, this is the best blah, blah, blah spot. So then I actually messaged one of them who was my friend. I was like, did you actually like that place? And she was like, no, the place was terrible. It's actually the worst that I've had.
Wait, did you just use their name?
No, I said they.
Okay. Okay.
Why would I use their name?
I thought you said a name and I was like, you calling them out on the podcast.
No, I didn't use their name.
Okay.
But anyways, I was like, did you actually like the food? And they're like, no, it was terrible. But we all got paid to go.
Yeah. You can't trust any of them.
And also a lot of these spots where like I went with them for the first time, like initially I had a great experience.
Yeah.
So the next time I'll bring my friends there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back and the service will be shit and the food will be shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not the experience that I've had before. So like, is this what a normal people? So then anyways, the whole thing and the whole industry just like disappointed me so much that I just kind of like stopped making food content.
Which is funny because I've actually started making like restaurant content, but I'm pretty much just filming where I go for dinner. And if I like it, I'll share it because I believe like restaurants deserve like,
yeah.
I think this publicity, if you truly like to go out and eat and if you truly like the restaurant industry, you will do what you can to support them, which usually means like, just going to dinner and then sharing your experiences. This is not the part of content creation that needs to be a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be a recipe developer, be a food blogger, be a cook, whatever. That's fine. But if all you do is like go to restaurants and leave like, you have to leave positive reviews because if that's your job is to be a marketer for restaurants, then be more honest about it because you're kind of like dragging the entire industry down with you.
I'll like, you know, review restaurants, but then if I didn't like the restaurant, I just would never post about it because also I don't want to like make a negative like thing on someone else's like living either, you know?
Oh, you know, like one person that I heard of, obviously not giving names, but they like, I only just recently heard that this person like does a ton of these, like, they're not even, we can't even call them reviews. We call them like restaurant marketing posts or whatever. They don't even eat the food. They just order a whole bunch of food and then they throw it out.
See, I also,
I heard that they throw the food away because they do like 2 or 3 restaurants a day and like, therefore, like, they can't eat it all. So, like, so that, to not gain weight and stuff like that, they just order all this food and then they get rid of it. And like, that is so disgusting. Wasting food makes me so mad.
See, that's the exact opposite of the Nutter influencer that I know, where they go to these places and when they give them food, they ask for more. And they'll literally try to get as much like free stuff as they can, like from these businesses. And honestly, I don't even know who's like eating all this food.
Yeah.
But like, they'll just take as much as you can. Like, if they're like, oh, these are like the new like things that we released. Here's, you know, like a dozen. They'll ask for 2 dozen. If they give them a drink, they're like, oh, can we have one of each? And they'll just like take it all home.
Look at us doing an expose of our industry.
Yeah, honestly, like, I'm not going to like out anyone, you know?
No.
I'm not trying to start drama. Also, I hate this culture of like, oh, if you're not going to say these names, like, don't even mention it at all. And it's like, no.
No.
Like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to like target any specific person or trying to start drama with any specific person. Just like I have issues with the industry as a whole. And I'm very blessed to like be on the cooking side of things. The people who cook, and I think cooks in general, like if they cook, it is a very light green flag. But and as a result, like, you know, people on my end of the content creating like food spectrum, like they are generally just like some of the kindest, nicest, most welcoming and warmest people I've met. But then it's like people on the quote unquote review or marketing side of things. And I guess that shouldn't be shocking, right? Marketing is like, there are some of the most wasteful, terrible people that I've met.
Absolutely. Yes, I don't know. I mean, I was clearly like, I love going out to eat at restaurants and I love like trying like what's new in like the culinary scene, but like I just fucking hate all these people. Like, that's like, and I know like we joke about like the influencers all the time, but like, oh my God, a lot of them actually are terrible human beings.
Like, actually scum.
Like, some of them are like legit sociopaths and they have like no other like skills.
Mm-hmm. And so they get into this. It's interesting too to see like how much food content creation has blown up because parts of it are just so easy and so marketable, and it's so easy to make money off of it. You see like celebrities getting into like doing like basic recipes and doing collaborations with food content creators now. And like they think it's just an easy way to make money. And for a lot of times it is. And, you know, I guess money attracts terrible people. So.
But then also like, I don't think we should completely like leave it up to these like writers and critics of like major publications either.
Because a lot of them
also
are
like
just
knowing the other side of the industry.
Culturally inept.
Culturally inept. And also a lot of them are literally just like friends of the businesses and you know, like a lot of them like
or elitist.
Elitist. A lot of them like shout out the same like few restaurants in rotation.
And I guess that just like leave. Well, what does that leave you with?
A hater. I guess I'm just a hater in the industry.
See, I think maybe that's why you should keep making food content though, because you're not making money off of it. You genuinely love food. You genuinely want places to do well. Mm-hmm. It's like us. Like we don't talk about who the bad people are. We just say that there are. Just like we know that there are bad restaurants out there. We know that we've eaten bad restaurants out there. I'm not in the business of like putting out bad places or places that I've had bad experiences with because maybe they had an off day and maybe that one, you know, server was just like new on the job or whatever, or had a vendetta against this place or whatever. Like, you know, one bad meal doesn't mean like a place should go under, but like a good one should be shared. A good experience should absolutely be shared with how hard that this job is or that job is, I should say.
But yeah, I feel like I want to get back into food content, but I think I need to like redo and maybe like just lay up like the restaurant side. Like just go, I'll just go enjoy restaurants and maybe.
I mean, just share them on your stories at least.
Yeah.
I do that too. That's an easy one.
That was a spiraling for.
It was a pretty good spot. At least it was food related spiral.
That's true. All right. With that being said, I think that was our podcast for the week.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us at on our Instagram, One for the Table. That is number one for the table. If you're one of those people, I don't use Instagram, you can email us at onefortheTable@gmail.com. That is number one and then for the table. And I guess buy John's book.
Yay. Bye.
Buy my makeup.